of us at the AEO Studios to all of you. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. And happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays, y'all. Coming at you from the AEO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AEO Studio.
AEO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. Last show of the year.
Let's go.
Myles Garrett going for the sack record, or is he? The NBA is not fun. And the Steelers and Ravens face off for the NFC North, the AFC North title and a playoff berth. We'll begin today's show with the end of the NFL regular season. It's coming to a close this weekend, and what a wild season it has been. As the season comes to a close this weekend, what is the most surprising thing to you? You know, some of the things that I find very intriguing. Bo Nix and Sam Darnold are quarterbacks to the number one seeded teams. Holy shit. Caleb Williams and Drake May could be the two seeds, okay?
Okay.
Mac Jones could potentially play against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and Purdy could get hurt. I mean, he could wind up starting against them. That'd be pretty wild. Both New York teams have a combined wins of six total wins. That's really bad. That's pretty bad. I think that's the worst New York has ever had. I can't remember a time when both teams were this bad. The Jets do not have an interception all year. And the San Francisco 49ers could potentially not leave the Bay Area for their entire playoff run because the Super Bowl is in Levi Stadium this year.
That it is.
But feel free to pick anything that is surprising to you.
All right. Well, let's go line by line, right? You put six bullet points out there. Let's go down the line, line by line. Bo Nix and Sam Darnold. They've been decent to very good. But both teams rely heavily on the defense. So it is not surprising that the Seahawks and the Broncos are both where they are in position to be because they have excellent defense. So all Bo Nix and Sam Darnold need to do is not fuck it up. And congratulations, gentlemen. You didn't fuck it up. Yeah. Awesome. Caleb Williams, Drake May. We expected big things from the Patriots. Both you and I both had them maybe not as high as they got, right? I don't think either one of us expected them to topple the Bills in just 1 year, considering where Gerard Mayo had them last year, right? I don't think either one of us had that on our bingo card, but we expected the Patriots to be better. You expected the Bears to be better under Ben Johnson because they couldn't be any worse under Matt Eberflus. Like, Caleb Williams, his job, much like Bo Nix, much like Sam Darnold, was not to fuck it up. And bully, he tried. He had difficulty throwing to the right team. But once he figured out how to dink and dunk passes to his tight ends, wow, magically, Caleb Williams looks like a competent, dare I say good, NFL quarterback. Right? He has been way more escapable this year than he was last year, mostly because they reinforced the offensive line for him. Mac Jones, that's a statistical oddity that he could play against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. A lot of things have to break right for that to happen. Well, for the Niners and for Mac Jones, right? Because along the way there, Brock Purdy needs to get hurt. Like, which is, you know, Nancy Kerrigan level convenience for Mr. Jones, right? You know, I'm not saying he's going to hire Jeff Galulin, but
he's available, by the way.
Last I heard, Mr. Galulin is ready to work.
Good. He's active and attractive.
He's ready to go. He's absolutely ready to go. We've seen this for a while with the Giants and the Jets being absolute dog shit. Now, the expectations were higher for the Giants because of who they brought in, right? You bring in Jameis, you bring in Russ, you draft Jackson Dart, Scadaboo. Like, you expected more. And then, my God, they just that the level of disappointment was through the roof. The Jets, you didn't expect them to be good, right? Yes, Robert Saleh's gone, Aaron Glenn is here, Justin Fields, yada, you know. No, you didn't expect it. And if you did, you're lying. If you expected more from the Jets, you're lying to yourself. And that's worse than lying to me, and that's worse than lying to D. Don't lie to yourself. That's one of the worst things you could do out there. The Niners, another statistical quirk, but they got to knock off the Seahawks this weekend, which is going to be a tough ask. It's going to be absolutely a tough ask. They can do it. They absolutely can do it. But if George Kittle's not going to play, right, if they're not going to be as healthy as they can be, it's going to be a tough draw. And then that brings us to the Jets not having an interception all year. D, I'm going to throw this out here to you, a little trivia question. When did the NFL start keeping the interception as a statistic?
64?
1940.
Oh, okay.
The league started in 1932. Well, they started keeping stats in 1932. They counted interceptions in 1940. This has never happened. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever in the history of the NF motherfucking L has a team not gotten an interception.
Man, they got a defensive coach, man.
Right. And before...
You're telling me you guys couldn't tip a pass?
Yeah, and
play,
you know,
quarters, man. Just play quarters whole fucking game.
And before that, they had Ahmad Gardner. I'm not calling him Sauce anymore. I know you're not calling him Sauce anymore. Like, what, you know, no.
2-13, my man.
You don't get a nickname anymore, my man. Like, you
2-13 is your name.
Right. You were 1-7 with the Jets. They trade you to the Colts. No, you were 1-6 with the Jets. They trade you to the Colts. You go 1-7 with the Colts. So, sorry, Ahmad. You lose the Sauce nickname. No, absolutely not. And you said it. Defensive head coach. Defensive back. He was a defensive back. He was a Pro Bowl defensive back. You couldn't walk into an interception. You couldn't stick your hands up at the line. You can't tip a ball. That's insane.
A tip. I'm just asking for a tip.
Just a tip. Just a tip. That's all we're asking for. Just a tip. And never since 1940 has this happened. And it's a record that will not be broken unless they make the season longer. That's the only way this will never be broken. This is the only way it will ever be broken is if they extend the goddamn season. So, of all the weird shit that happened this year, the most surprising, crazy, odd, whatever you want to call it, it's the Jets. It's always the Jets. It's always Lupus. Doesn't matter what year. It's the Jets.
I can't wrap my head around it. So I was at the game this past weekend. They're getting fucking crushed, right? It's 21-0, man. Like, they're getting fucking smoked. And the Patriots have the ball. But for God knows what reason, I don't know, Aaron Glenn starts calling timeout because he wants to get the ball back. Guess what, Aaron? You gave the Patriots, you called timeout to the Patriots so that they could keep going downfield, matriculate downfield. So then they only had to spend one timeout and they scored a touchdown. Then the Jets got the ball back. Then the Patriots started using their timeouts and they got the ball back again and they scored again. Fuck. Just come on. Just stop. Why are you calling timeout? The Patriots weren't calling timeouts. They were going to go downfield, score, leave no time left for you, and then go into halftime. But no, you essentially gave them like 4 timeouts or 5 timeouts so that they could score twice. Don't.
This is Herm level bad in terms of clock management. Herm Edwards was fucking atrocious with clock management. This gives him a run for his money.
But it's just like, what were you thinking? Like, you're down 21-0. You haven't gotten an interception all year. Like, what do you think you're going to do? You haven't been able to move the ball. You think you're going to get the ball back and, like, fucking score? Like, you think that's going to happen? Is that really what you were thinking? Just let it go, man. Let's just get out of here. Let's just get out of here. With some dignity and some pride.
Nah, where's
the pride, man? Gosh, that was awful. Drake May was pretty spectacular. But I think everybody looks spectacular against them.
Yeah.
The thing that's most surprising to me is that the Colts were 8-1 at one point. And Daniel Jones was like the MVP and was going comeback player of the year. He gets hurt. They proceed to go 1-8 or 1-7. And they have to bring back Phillip Rivers because they don't have a quarterback. They don't have anyone to play quarterback.
What?
Phillip Rivers played this year. Prolonged his health care for his children now for an extra 5 years. And pushed back his induction. Now, I never thought he was a Hall of Famer, but now he might get in considering what he did and came back and played well.
Would he have been a Hall of Fame finalist if he did not sign with the Colts this year?
No. I still don't think he is, but I think people will look at this and be like, man, no one's ever done that before. Like, you were out of football for fucking like 5 years. He came back and he actually played good for two games. For two games, he was all right. Like, they were doing all right. But yeah, so outside of the Jets, that's the most surprising to me. But I mean, the Jets thing is just, I just don't know. I don't know. Just scrap the whole thing. Like, don't, like, we need to, you need to just start over. Forget all the – somebody was saying on the radio they should just take all their draft picks and, like, trade for Patrick Mahomes. Like,
whose leg exploded?
But wait. Listen, they actually had a good point. You're expecting the Jets to draft correctly and get the correct coach in here? Like, you're just better off with a guy like Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes who they themselves are a conduit for success. And will the teams to victory. That was the first time I was like, man, you might have something here. Because they just can't get anything right. Look at this guy, Ahmed Gardner, is terrible. He's terrible. And he wants to go on and say, oh, nobody throws against me. You know, dude, you don't win. You are a loser. You are the definition of loser. You lose. You lose every game. Their inability to move Breece Hall. Breece Hall was the only person on that team that's a professional football player this weekend. And he's leaving. Like, you could offer me all the money in the world. I am not coming back here. I won't even touch this state. I won't even play against you. That's how much I want to get out of here. Like, and you're going to let him go? Like, I don't know if they have a professional football player on their team. They were doing the starting lineups. They did the starting offensive line. I don't know who any of those motherfuckers are. Not one of them. Not one guy. Not one dude. And I just, it's just so bad. It's so bad. It was basically a Patriots home game because most of the people in the crowd were Patriot fans because I didn't realize, number one, I didn't realize it was the last home game of the season for the Jets. Number two, I didn't realize that the Patriots could lock up the division by winning and Buffalo losing. And just, I don't really care for either team. But man, the Patriots fans were giving it to the Jet fans hard. Like, you know, saying things like, didn't take us long to get back on top. Ooh. Meanwhile, May is through 5 touchdown passes, career high. Z, they were sending 4 people into the routes. 5 people were open. Everybody was open. I was going through the progression with Drake May because I was sitting in the end zone. And I was like, oh, I can throw it here. Oh, I can throw it here. Oh, I'll just wait a couple more seconds to throw it here. And then he would just throw it downfield, like on a dime. Stephon Diggs looked like he was a college player playing with high school kids. Just jumping up and grabbing the ball at everybody. Everybody got a play. There was a play. I think it was the second or third touchdown they threw where they're in the red zone, the Patriots. They come out with a 5 wide look. They motion Stevenson into the backfield. You know you got one-on-one coverage. And right there, May's like, all right, I know where I'm going. Stevenson went up, ran a quarter route, just completely shredded the linebacker, and he just caught it over his shoulder for an easy touchdown. It was like, it was this, you could see it. I can see it. I'm on the other side of the field. and I can see what's going to happen. And you guys just not ready. You're just not ready.
Now, that's when you call timeout, Aaron.
Timeout or get back, you know?
Something.
Do something. But it just goes to show you, like, one team was prepared for that game and the other team wasn't. So I just don't think the Jets could bring Aaron Glenn back for this season, for next season, because his team was not prepared to play football on Sunday. The Patriots were. The lines are long at MetLife Stadium. So there was a guy who came with his daughter, and he didn't get to sit down until there was, like, I think 10 minutes or 8 minutes left in the first quarter, and it was already 14-0. It was 14-0 already.
All right, head out.
All right, I left at halftime. I didn't need to see anything else. I was good. I was like, there's nothing else I need to see here, because I knew the rest of the game. I wasn't even sure Drake May should come out in the second half. There's no point.
They were like, fuck it. You know,
there's
like,
no point. You guys aren't trying
I'm
out
surprised
here.
They didn't go to DeVito. Like,
I thought DeVito would have played. But I didn't see him on the sideline.
I thought he dressed. Maybe he wasn't dressed.
I couldn't see him just because of where I was sitting. I was looking for certain players and certain coaches, but just one team is kind of like, you know, ready to play, and the other team just showed up. And then that's the fault of the front office. That's the fault of the coach. And, you know, how smug of Aaron Glenn when the Patriots asked to interview him, he said no.
I'm all right.
Thanks, Aaron, for that.
Now, we knew that it was kind of a token hire, because – a token interview, rather. Like, Pep Hamilton, I think, interviewed Patriots, yeah. Like, they were going for Mike Vrabel. Everybody knew. So I understand where he was coming from. Like, this is a token. I'm going to get, like, 5 minutes, and then they're going to send me on my way. I understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, Steve Wilks is completely vindicated, right? Because, you know, they threw him under the bus. Oh, it was his defense that was so fucking terrible. Dude, are you kidding me? Like, no fucking way is this on Steve Wilks anymore, right? It's atrocious. It's been a shit show since you fired him. There's been no offense. Hegstrand has been god-awful. Justin Fields was god-awful. Tyrod Taylor was hurt. Shocker. And now you have Hendon Hooker, and you have – that's your situation. Brady Cook, Hendon Hooker, and Adrian Martinez. Those are your quarterbacks for the remainder of the year. And you got Buffalo coming off a loss, who's going to destroy you just for fun.
Like, in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. And Josh Allen's probably not even going to play the second half. Like, they're locked in. They have a playoff berth. So it'll probably be Mitch Trubisky shredding your ass. You're getting shredded by Mitch Trubisky. Like, you got a clean house. And you got – if you're Moogs – and Moogs, I hope you're listening – you cannot go defensive head coach again. You need a veteran. You need an offensive mind. Mike McCarthy. There is no other choice.
Has to be.
Get him there. Has to be. And do not let him leave.
And don't let him leave.
That's it.
You're going to stay here until you write this ship. Give him the Gruden contract.
I'll do you one better. You mentioned before, like, trade for Mahomes, trade for Burrow. You got picks. Trade for Dak. You have Dak and McCarthy with the Jets. Suddenly, you don't look so bad. But would Jerry Jones do that?
Yeah, I just think you got to shake it up. We're going to shake things up. Like, you know, you got to shake things up. You got to change it. Because what you're doing is not working. You can't be dealing with the first-year head coaches. No. You can't be drafting quarterbacks and not giving them, like, a line. Like, Zach Wilson's going to be flipping burgers this next year. This dude is out of the league. This dude is out of the fucking league. Meanwhile, Trey Lance is going to be starting this weekend for the Chargers because they have no reason to play Herbs. Good thing we went to 17 games.
Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey protein powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
Moving on, the Steelers face off against the Ravens for the NFC North title and a playoff berth on the line Sunday night in Baltimore. Does this game even matter?
Flexed in, mind you. So that's a good job by the NFL, flexing this game in. I think it was supposed to be Giants-Cowboys. So you flexed out of that garbage, and you flexed into a division game, a division championship game. And yeah, it matters. I mean, winner gets the 4 seed, loser goes home. Anytime you're in a winner-go-home situation, it matters.
Yeah, but is the winner going to get to the Super Bowl?
They have a shot in their game, in their 4-5. They're playing the Texans. It's not like they're playing the 85 Bears.
In Houston.
No, I don't believe so. They would have the 4 seed.
Oh, right. They're going to have to come to Baltimore,
to Pittsburgh. So
okay.
There's a shot. You got a shot. You get around. You can potentially get around. Now, it does matter from that standpoint. You're playing for pride. You're playing for a division title, right? That's what you play for. You can possibly, either one of these teams can knock off the Texans. We wrote the Texans off earlier in the year, and then Davis Mills got them on a friggin' heater. So, stranger things have happened. That defense, though, that defense is going to be better than anything they've played recently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as who wins this game, which coach doesn't do the stupid thing? Right? They finally remember that Derrick Henry's on this team, and they ran his ass all night and took it to Green Bay, right? You don't have Micah Parsons. You didn't have a lot. Like, Green Bay was down significantly. And Derrick Henry just went to town. And if there's no TJ Watt, and I know he's trying to play even though he has the punctured lung, he just had surgery, 20 days ago? Which is, there's a fine line between crazy and brave. And TJ Watt is on that line right now, if he decides to play on Sunday, if they let him play on Sunday. So, if they remember that Derrick Henry's on this team, there is no reason the Ravens won't coast into the playoffs. Now, Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, and the Steelers have to not be so brazen, not have so much hubris as to try the best corner 3 plays in a row. You're in the red zone. Why are you throwing 3 times in the direction of Denzel Ward? Denzel Ward is one of the best corners in the league. And it's MVS, right? It's not DK Metcalf, who won't be there again because he got suspended because he popped the guy in the face in Detroit. Thanks, DK. Thanks for showing up. So you're going to have less than on offense. Aaron Rodgers cannot go into this thinking, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm just going to... No, dude. Like, that ship has passed. That ship has sailed. You're not in the I'm Aaron Rodgers hubris era anymore. You need to realize, you're 41, 42 years old. You got other guys on this team. Maybe it's time that you kind of put your ego to the side and start thinking about the betterment of the team. Like, you were making ego throws on Sunday. Oh, I can get to MVS. I'm Aaron Rodgers. No. That is not going to get you to the playoffs. That's going to get you beat. That is going to get you beat, and that is going to get you sent home. So it absolutely does matter, and I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I'm not going to say my pick, though. I'm going to save that for later. We call that a tease.
Yeah. I don't think it matters. I can't see either team beating the Texans. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be running for his life, right? And then I don't even know if Lamar is playing this weekend.
He should,
let alone playing in 2 weekends.
Tyler Huntley's more than capable.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, I think it was a great game by Derrick Henry, one last gasp. It was a wonderful thing. You know, it was pretty incredible what he did. But at the end of the day, they're just not a... Neither team is a good team, right? Neither team is worthy. Buffalo is better than both of those teams. I'd rather have Buffalo in the playoffs than have to watch this garbage. And Buffalo is cutting in as the 7th seed, which is nuts, right?
Yeah.
Right? Think about it that way. If we were still at six teams, Buffalo wouldn't be getting into the playoffs. How crazy is that? In a year with no Burrow, no Mahomes, oh my God, and possibly no Lamar, they wouldn't even make the playoffs in a six. So they didn't even go back to six, man. That's so crazy. So we get Buffalo essentially playing New England in New England. I mean, I don't know. To me, I want to see the best of the best. That's what the playoffs are for. The playoffs isn't this participation thing where, oh man, you had a good try, you should get there. Like, I don't want to see Basota. And the Ravens and the Steelers, I mean, they're not, to me, I don't think they can go on a run. You're telling me that you could see the Baltimore Ravens essentially beating, you see them beating Houston and then what, beating Jacksonville? Like, and then, or beating Denver? Like, you think that's a possibility, man?
Absolutely.
What kind of heat are they going on, man? Are they like what's happening? Is like Bo Nix gonna have his foot amputated or something?
Let's not act like Jacksonville was not in the top five of draft picks last year. Yes, they're better. They are absolutely better. But let's not go crazier. You have a first-year head coach. You have a quarterback with a reputation of gagging it up in the playoffs.
They have some signature wins this year, though. Think about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure they beat San Francisco, right? In San Francisco.
Yeah.
They beat the Colts. They beat Houston. They've beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They've had some decent wins this year.
They can also lose this weekend and end up in seventh. So they're by no means set.
They can
right
lose
now
this weekend and end up in south because Houston will get their spot.
Houston will get the spot. Houston wins the division. They can drop all the way to seventh.
So that's something they could drop all the way to seventh. Okay.
That's crazy, okay. Right? Then all of a sudden.
The Chargers move up to five?
Chargers would move up to five. And the Charge, you know what?
And then
in
they
this
get
scenario? Let's talk about that scenario.
Yeah.
The Ravens or the Steelers could still possibly do that with a, you know, the Chargers defense is compromised. It's not as good as it was. And Justin Herbert's got the Mickey Mouse glove, right? Yes, he's taking next weekend off, and Trey Lance is probably going to play. But what did we see from Justin Herbert last year? Mr. Four Picks. So he is not above.
He looked like dog this past weekend, didn't he?
Exactly. So there is a pathway. There is a pathway. It's not a likely pathway, but there is a pathway. And we've seen.
Why is there so much hype on Justin Herbert? I just went to Pieces of the Game. They're selling his helmet, his signed helmet, for $1,000. Did I miss something? Did he win like five Super Bowls or something? Like, what are we talking about here? Why is his helmet $1,000?
Did he even win Rookie of the Year?
Yes, he did.
Okay,
he was Rookie of the Year.
Okay, so he's got that to his accolade. It's just the central casting shit. Why is Trevor Lawrence so lauded, man? It's the central casting.
Is he? I haven't even seen his memorabilia or his cards. I've seen Herbert stuff. I haven't seen Trevor Lawrence stuff. I mean, you know, obviously you see Patrick Mahomes stuff everywhere, but and Justin Fields.
You can have that. That's a buy one, get one free.
But come on. $1,000?
That's absurd.
What?
Absurd.
For what? What did he do? I've been trying to buy his ball for the longest time, but it's priced just as high as Mahomes' ball. Hello?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
For what? The fuck are we talking about?
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
Myles Garrett currently has these 22 sacks and will be going for the sack record against the Bengals on Sunday. The Browns accused the Steelers of being more concerned with preventing Garrett from getting the sack record than winning the actual game. When Myles Garrett gets the single season sack record this weekend against the Bengals and Joe Burrow, should it have an asterisk since it was done in 17 games?
Well, got to really think about it, because
we all thought Aaron was going to lay down this weekend, too.
Right. I mean, much like his predecessor did for Michael Strahan. So that's the other thing. Like, if we really want to think about it, this one in more games. The last one was done under controversial circumstances. Ergo, therefore, Mark Gastineau still has the single-season sack record, much in the way that Henry Aaron still has the all-time home run record. You can make an argument. It's not a great argument, but you can make an argument in that case. And Mark Gastineau would love you for it. You would be automatically on the Gastineau Christmas card list. You probably have to put an asterisk, but then when it goes to the 18-game schedule, you will have to have another asterisk, and then another asterisk, and so on, and so on, and so on. It's one of those things that's slippery slope, right? Because then you're going to have the single-season touchdown record. Is the single-season touchdown record going to have an asterisk next to it when it eventually gets through, right? The rushing yards, is that going to have an asterisk? Is the touchdown receptions by a wide receiver single season, is that going to be, you know, are you going to start calling everything, every single thing into question? And that's the slippery slope of the asterisk. I am against it from that simple standpoint, because then you have an asterisk for everything. And then it becomes, then you're keeping three sets of books, right? Then you become Major League Baseball. And frankly, up until Michael Strahan, who really gave a crap, you know? And even Michael Strahan, like, all they gave a crap about was that Brett Favre laid down. Like, at the end of the day, the sack isn't that old of a statistic. If you go back in time, someone else probably has more. But they didn't start taking it into account until the mid-60s, I believe. So, you could if you want to. I think it's a waste of time, and it would just further dilute the NFL record books and turn it into Major League Baseball. So that's a no for me. I understand why people would do it, but I'm not about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I think it's different when you're talking about like cumulative records, right? Like, you know, yards in a career, touchdowns in a career, you know, even though they'll have played more games, you'll always know, you know, he did it in X amount of games, right? And I think in this situation, you just have to denote that he did this in 17 games. Yeah. Because if he did it last week, then there's no question, right, Z?
Yeah.
There's no question about it, right?
Right.
And I think in a situation where if a player was to get like 30 sacks in a season, right, we probably don't say anything. It's like, oh, he blew that shit out of the water.
Right.
He's literally going to get like one more sack or two more sacks, and it's all because of what's happening, you know, this weekend. I mean, we could even talk about when Ichiro was going for the 56-game hit streak. What happened? I believe the last week when his record was snapped, they stopped pitching to him. Started walking him because they didn't want to be the guy, right?
Exactly.
You don't want to be the guy, and rightfully so. And I think I don't think the Steelers were deliberately trying not to let him get the sack record. I think that's a little out there. I don't know how true that is, but I mean, we both thought it was going to happen, right? I thought it was, but I think you have to say he did it in 17 games. There's no way around that. And I'm with you. I mean, to me, Mark Gastineau is the guy. Brett Favre is a turd. And he laid down like a turd for Strahan, who, let's be frank, doesn't need that. He didn't need that in his career, right? He won a Super Bowl. He beat the undefeated Patriot team. He's got an amazing job now, career, where he did Live with Kelly for many years. He's on Fox for all these years. Like, he doesn't need that. I'm not saying Mark Gastineau needs that record, but Mark Gastineau was a football player. Like, you know, that's who he was. And that he was this He was a guy that's what he did. He went and sacked the quarterback. He never did what the defense was supposed to do. He went and got the quarterback. You know, for him, that record means a lot to him, and he should have it. And for Myles Garrett, you know what? You didn't get it in the 17 game. You didn't get it in 16 games. You got it in 17. So you'll have to, you're still a great player, and it leaves you for something to try to accomplish next year. And as far as regular season record holders go, yes, technically he will be the regular season, because the regular season now is 17 games.
Right.
But if you're asking me who the guy is, it's Mark Gastineau.
It's absolutely Mark Gastineau, absolutely. And you're looking at it, right? You can find, because I looked it up, it's 1982. That's when the sack was officially recognized as a statistic. You can find, you can look up pre-1982 numbers where they're counting sacks. So there, I'm sure if we look far enough, we'll be able to find somebody that has approached this record, or if not, exceeded this record already. It's an exercise for the stat heads, but it's one that I think is a worthwhile endeavor. But if you're really gonna talk about it this way, where it's like, even Aaron Judge, think about when Aaron Judge set the American League record for homers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knocked off Roger Maris, who did it in 162, right?
Yeah.
Now,
wait. Yeah, Maris did 162.
Maris did it in 162.
And Babe 154.
In 154, exactly. So now you're going to have multiple sets of records, and people are calling it into account because of the fact that, you know, Aaron Judge did it in this. Is it the real, like, dude? It's a waste of time, right? It's tribalism. You're going to defend your guy. If you like Aaron Judge, you're going to say he set the record, right? But it's like, oh, it's not the major league record. There's Barry Bonds. It's like, okay, fine. Like,
oh, he set the American League record,
He set the
right?
American League record. Okay, fine. We can have that discussion, too. Barry Bonds has the National League and the Major League record. But then at the same point, like, we can really go down a rabbit hole here, a tribalism rabbit hole, right? Modern era versus past era. Steroids versus guys that we believe did things naturally. It opens a Pandora's box that we don't need to open. Can we just leave it closed? Let's just leave it closed.
Kensho Cocktails by RSRV Collective are premium non-alcoholic drinks crafted to deliver bold, sophisticated flavors inspired by classic cocktails. Alcohol-free indulgence. Enjoy a 30% exclusive discount with our promo code DNZ at RSRVCollective.com. That's 30% off using our promo code DNZ only at RSRVCollective.com.
And speaking of leaving it closed, over to the NBA, because we have to talk about it. The Knicks won the NBA Cup. Woo! People seem to keep trying to convince themselves that this is a thing, right?
Yeah.
They keep trying to make fetch happen here. And I don't know if it's working. I mean, the Knicks are good. The Knicks are good, but I don't know if it matters that they're the NBA Cup champions. Adam Silver has talked about expansion, finding ways to prevent teams from tanking, and NBA Europe. Will any of these initiatives make the NBA more fun?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Nah.
There's a couple of things I'd like to see happen. Like, I'd really like to see some trades happen. I'm not talking about some middle-of-the-road shit. Like, I'd like to see some big-time players on the move go and help some other teams win. Like, let's talk about the Lakers first for a minute. This whole LeBron on the Lakers thing, this shit isn't working. It's just not working. Wouldn't you rather see, like, LeBron go to, like, the Golden State Warriors? Wouldn't that be fun? Or see Jimmy Butler go to the Lakers? Or maybe see LeBron go, like, go to, like, the Thunder? Or
LeBron
go to Dallas?
Finally on the Knicks.
Or the Knicks. Like, wouldn't that be fun? Like,
God.
I'm just saying, like, I want to see some guys. Like, who would you say is now, even though we saw Luka Doncic get traded, which we never thought would have happened, right? Who are some other players that you think are not tradable, right? Like, Shaw is not, right?
No, anybody in the Thunder is not.
SGA is not tradable.
No.
I'd say Jokic is not tradable.
Especially after he fucked up his leg last night.
Fucked up his leg, right? Jalen Brunson. Not treatable. Knicks are not treating him. No way. And probably Wemby, right? Wemby's probably not tradable.
If they deem he's injury prone, they may decide to move him.
Let's just talk about this year. This year, he's not tradable, right? But other stars that I think are, right, is like Tyrese Maxey, right?
If you consider him a star. Is Joel Embiid tradable?
Yes, 100%. I think Tyrese Maxey is like a borderline top five player in the league. Like, I got to see him play 2 weeks ago, and holy shit. Holy, my man's getting 31 points per game. I'm getting mine, guys. Make sure you get yours. Like, that's the way he played last week against the Knicks. I'm getting mine. Hope everybody can get theirs, because ain't nobody on this court fucking stopping me. I'd say Giannis is tradable.
Hell yeah.
Giannis is tradable. I'd say Jaylen Brown is tradable.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? Especially in the... And they're actually...
Tatum? Yeah.
They're actually competing very well without Tatum. And it almost makes you wonder. It's like, all right, well, we're really good. Like, we can get better if we moved him, and then next year Tatum comes back. Like, I don't know. I think Anthony Edwards is tradable, right?
For the right package, yeah.
For the right package, right? And my last one, I think Steph Curry is tradable. Fuck names. Like, there ain't winning shit. Golden State is not winning. You're not winning. Now, he's a guy that if you put him on another team, they could become very good. But I don't think Golden State's winning. You think Golden State has a chance? Especially with Draymond just getting up and walking off the bench. And his outbursts and antics don't work anymore. Like, you guys don't win at a clip anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's another dude that's tradable. Trade his ass.
So, I mean, I would say, well, Trae Young is definitely, there are now rumors, there are active rumors that the Hawks are shopping him. So, he's definitely available. I would say Draymond more than Steph. I think that if they were to take sides, I think Steve Kerr and ownership would side with keeping Curry and moving Draymond, because you're not.
Oh yeah, if you're
not
given
the
option,
but come on, you could.
I think you could. I think a team like the Orlando Magic could really pony up for Curry.
But they're gonna tank their own season, though. Like, it's one of those. That's a Carmelo Anthony level trade, right? You have this good young core. You're gonna want Banchero. You're gonna want Wagner. You're gonna want.
I'm giving you draft picks, not giving you players.
You're not getting draft picks. You're not.
That's
getting
crazy.
My guy.
It's crazy.
Like, I wouldn't do it. If I'm the Warriors, I want to reload. I want to reload this thing.
But you agree that the Warriors can't win the title?
No.
As presently constituted.
As presently constituted, no.
Now, or the Lakers.
The Lakers, no. Absolutely not. Now, well, you openly have JJ Redick calling them out. So, that therein lies the problem. Now, if they magically get Anthony Davis back, which is a possibility, okay, now you might have something, right? You have Luka plus Anthony Davis plus LeBron. The Mavericks fans would riot if they traded Anthony Davis back to the Lakers, right? It would have to be like a third team or like a buyout situation. A player that I would kick the tires on, like, I would see where Kawhi is. Like, I would see what the Clippers are thinking. Like,
he ain't gonna play. You're gonna trade for a guy who ain't gonna play. That's like trading for Paul George. Paul George had as many points in the first half of the last week's Knicks game as I did. And I was in the stands. Now, granted, he came back and he did a couple of things and he wound up salvaging his night. I'm just trying to say, like, Paul George is at the end of his rope there, man.
Right.
Like, Kawhi Leonard's the same way. Kate and James Harden, too. Those guys are...
Yeah, no. I mean, you might be able to get something out of James Harden, right? Because at the end of the day, James Harden is a scorer.
But he wants the ball. He wants to go to the basket. Like, he hasn't realized, like, those days are over. Like, you can't win games anymore, dude. Like, my dude, you can't win games anymore.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he was able to revert back to when he was the sixth man, right? If he was able to mentally get out of that, because he started as an impactful six man, one of the best six men in the league.
Never happened.
Yeah.
Never happened. But as far, I mean, I guess, listen, I think the NBA Cup is garbage, but I mean, if you could tweak it a little bit to make it worth more while than people getting paid and people getting money for it, have something behind it, have some more incentive there. I don't think expansion is the answer for the NBA. No. I just...
It's Vegas and it's, Seattle. It's great for Vegas and Seattle. That's about it.
It's hard to get up for something like that. Like, I would never pay to go to a Knick game. I'm not paying to go to a Knick game. I'm not. I wouldn't. I don't. You know, you've devalued your regular season so much that it's like, that's the only thing it's worth going to is like a playoff game. And then as far as European expansion.
No.
I mean, it just makes it, it'll make it more popular, but I'm looking for it to be more fun. I'm looking for more rivalries. I'm looking for a better package. I'm looking for a better product. You know, that's what I want. I want better competition. I want there to be like the old Miami Heat, New York Knicks rivalry that just doesn't exist anymore. I don't really think that is. Maybe there's a Hawks Knicks thing going on because of Trae Young, but like, and maybe Boston Celtics, New York Knicks, I guess is kind of fire. Cavs and Knicks, they're trying to make that something, but I don't know.
Pacers Knicks is the, unfortunately, Halliburton.
That's over now. Yeah. That's over now.
Now that he's gone. Now that he's hurt. Absolutely. But you look at these initiatives that they're trying to put in place to kind of minimize tanking. You're looking at limiting pick protection. Not allowing team to draft in the top 4 2 years in a row. And then locking lottery positions after March 1st. Those are the three things they came up with to try and...
Locking after March 1st.
So basically, like, trade deadline's over, positions are locked. Like, you can't, like, if you're there at that point, you're locked in for the lottery, and we'll do our ping pong balls.
Hmm.
So, like, a team can't bottom out in the second half of the year, kind of thing.
Hmm.
I don't know if that helps. I really don't know if that helps. And, okay, like, limiting your protections. Okay, they're saying top four. Okay, fine. Like, make it super restrictive in terms of pick protection. That would facilitate more trades, though. Right? Because you don't have to worry about that as much. Like, it's wide open. Like, am I going to have to get a protected pick? And, like, are they going to start tanking because they have a better pick? You knock that out. You absolutely remove that. But other than that, I don't love it. I don't love it. Expansion, you're diluting a diluted product. Right? There are already too many fucking teams. Right? And then you're going to add the Seattle Supersonics. Right?
Whatever happened to contracting teams? Remember we used to do that? You know,
it died with the Twins and the Expos because they didn't get contracted. They tried in 98, you sons of bitches. So, and then NBA Europe could be interesting from this standpoint. Now, hear me out here. You have this NBA Cup. It's not going anywhere, right? You have an in-season tournament. Okay, the winner of the U.S. bracket plays the winner of the international bracket for the NBA Cup at the All-Star game. That's the only thing. Like, that's all I got. That's all I got.
I don't know.
I don't know what the stakes are.
It's crazy. Like, I don't know how you get players to care. I don't know how you get players to care. I don't know how you get players to care.
Money doesn't work.
It just has to be a different mentality. Money don't work. No, it has to be a different mentality.
Money doesn't work.
You know, you need. I don't know if that's going to even come in. I don't even know if that's going to come into the league, right? I don't even know if that's going to happen with these new batch of kids that are coming. You know, because I don't know if you saw Calipari in his little rant about the transfer portal, but he made some really great observations about it. Because he was just saying, he's like, okay, like, let's say I have a player and I don't play him. And then he decides to leave and he goes to another school, transfer portal, right? He goes to that other team and he doesn't play there. So, but he needs money. So he extorts them. And then during the extortion, that goes south. So then he goes to a third team. So now he's going to be a junior in a school. He's 1 year away from graduating, allegedly. He's been paid probably about $20 million in the 3 years that he's been playing college basketball. But now he's got no allegiance to any school. So it's just like you're not going to be able to maybe finish your degree the way you want. And even when you do finish your degree, you might not be an NBA player. So now you've got to go out and work. And that first job you get is going to be paying you $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And you're going to be like, what? What is this? I used to make millions of dollars for playing basketball. And he's like, one of the things he's like, I've been rich and I've been poor. And it's one thing to be poor, be rich, and then be poor again. That's a tough thing for a young kid to have to deal with. And I was like, man, that's some real shit right there. You know?
Yeah.
And I just think that you're gonna be getting players that come into the NBA that don't care. They're not gonna care for the town they play in, the city they play for, because they haven't cared. And we've talked about this before on the show where, you know, a lot of professional players, they have homages for where they played, right? You've got Patrick Mahomes who talks about Texas Tech. You've got, you know, Drew Brees who talks about Purdue. You've got Tom Brady who's a Michigan man. Woodson who's a Michigan man. But these guys that are going to start coming out, they don't have any allegiance because they played for four different schools in 3 years. Like, so what? So if I don't have any allegiance to a college program, how can I pledge any allegiance to a pro team once I get there?
That's fair.
You know?
That's fair. Now, look at it the other way. Did you see what Baylor did? Baylor
no.
signed a former NBA
Nick.
Draft pick.
Yeah, I did see that.
He had all his college eligibility because he was an international player. So it's like, it's not against the rules. It's not against the rules.
Like, it's the Wild Wild West.
Dude, it's absolutely ridiculous. But what you were talking about, Calipari, reminded me of a quote from Dusty Rhodes. He's wine and dined with kings and queens and slept in alleys eating pork and beans. Like, that's, like, I get what you're saying. And, like, I don't know how you incentivize guys. You're right. Money is not helping because they're getting money in college already. They're coming into the league already with bread in their basket. Now, more bread is not the answer. Apparently, it's not. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's days off. Maybe that's what you got. Maybe you get an extra day off if you win the NBA Cup. But maybe they don't count. You get a back-to-back. Maybe that's what you get. Maybe that's what you get. You get, like, one back-to-back off per play or something like that. And, like, I don't know. Because you're getting penalized for taking back-to-backs off, right? For load management. Maybe that's what you got to do. Manage this load. So maybe that's the answer. I don't know. But you can't keep doing what you've been doing because what you've been doing ain't working. So I don't know how you fix it. I don't know what Adam Silver's got to do. But if this is what you're throwing against the wall, it ain't sticking, Chief. It just ain't sticking.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom.
All right, boys and girls, take out a sheet of paper and a pencil. Have a seat. It is time to go into the classroom. D and I give you some statements, and we will assign letter grades for them. And if you want to grade along with us, hit us up. FadeRouteMail@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at FadeRoutePodcast or drop us a line on X at FadeRouteDNZ. Grade Matthew Stafford's 2025 regular season?
Well, if I was grading last night, it'd be an F. The fuck, dude?
Ooh, playing
Atlanta in Atlanta, there's so much on the line here, and you fucking shit the bed, dude.
Oof,
like, I think he lost the MVP award last night. I really do. I think he did. I mean,
he looked like Detroit Matthew Stafford.
He did look like Detroit. I mean, listen, if they win that game, I believe they become a 5 seed, and they would be playing the winner of the Carolina Buck game this weekend. But by losing, they slide into a 6 seed, where they're going to probably be paying the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oof.
Or potentially the San Francisco 49ers. No, it'll be the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, that sucks. And they already went to Philly and lost this year. Like, so I'm they've been losing to teams that they should be beating. This is the time of the year where you should be rallying, right? You should be like coming up big, like the 49ers did against the Bears. Like, this is the time of the year where you've got to really put it together, and you've got to win games. You shouldn't be losing to the Falcons. So I'm gonna give them a B. 42 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But you're not going to win the division.
So, I mean, they score in bunches. It's the number one scoring offense in the league. 65% completion, 42 touchdowns, 8 picks, like you said. Like, that's B+. B+, A- territory. Now, it's a lack of consistency, because they've looked like they've had games where they've just, like, laid it on people, right? And then you get last night where they had to survive against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, yes, Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator in L.A. He knows what McVay wants to run. So I understand where that's coming from and why Stafford may have struggled, because Raheem knows the tendencies of Matthew Stafford. Raheem came to play last night. So, get this. Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame finalist, right? He has a 500 record. Do you know what Matthew Stafford's career record is?
I'm going to guess it's below. Oh, is he a 500 guy?
He is 119, 118, and 1 for his career.
Wow. Yeah, 500 guy.
If we think that Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer, and I think we think Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer, then Eli Manning's got to go in too. So Matthew Stafford...
He also played... Didn't he play for a team that didn't win any games?
Correct.
Yeah.
There's that. But, you know... But we think that Matthew Stafford is... When you look at Matthew Stafford, you look at the peripherals, you look at his statistics, this guy screams Hall of Famer. Which is why records are not exactly the best indicators of success, right? And that's why, you know, you have the Mina Kimeses of the world who are saying that wins are not a quarterback statistic. And I understand what she's saying, because you look at Stafford, you look at Eli, they shouldn't be on the same stratosphere, and yet they are. I gotta say, I'm leaning towards A- because of how prolific 42-8, the ratio is so good, but when you look at it and it just comes in bunches, and then the struggles, and then the inability to get going sometimes.
Pick sixes
have been an issue of late. That'll bump it down to, I think, a B+. Very good year for Matthew Stafford. It hasn't resulted in the wins that you had hoped for. And 11-5 is nothing to sneeze at. Let's be honest here. Let's be truthful. 11-5 is nothing to sneeze at. And that division is loaded. Right, that division is loaded between the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Rams. Like, all three really, really solid teams, two very good teams. The Rams just were on the shit end of that really good stick this year. Great. Sam Darnold's 2025 regular season.
My man, Sam. You think the Vikings wish they had Sam this year?
Yeah.
Sam joined some elite company, Z. I think I shared this with you. I believe he became the 5th quarterback to record back-to-back 13-win seasons. And he joined company of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers,
Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. It's pretty wild that he's in that
Which
conversation.
One of these doesn't belong here.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett Favre. So Sam, to me, he's got a lot of interceptions this year. 25 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, but his team won the division. So, well, they're going to win the division, or they won already. They're going to win if they win this weekend.
If they beat the Niners.
They got to beat the Niners this weekend. So I'm giving him an A, and it'll be an A-plus if he wins this weekend. How come he's not getting any love for MVP?
We were giving it to him at the beginning of the year, but I think it's the picks.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with Baker Mayfield, right? We were talking about Baker Mayfield early on as a regular season MVP, and then all of a sudden, the picks start happening in bunches. 8 picks in 7 games, and then the Bucks go in the toilet, and all of a sudden, Baker doesn't look that great anymore. So, it is a lot of picks. 25 to 14, that's a lot of picks. The ratio is not as good as Matthew Stafford. Completion percentage, 2 points higher, 67.2% compared to Matthew Stafford's 65. And the team is in contention for the division. I'm not going to discount Sam Darnold's year because he had a very good year. This was the year to prove it, right? Last year, okay. Like, that was the year that got you the money. This was the year that you had to prove that you were actually worth the money. Because it's very easy that first year to shit the bet. It's very easy. Like Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn got paid all that money and then got beat out in training camp by Russell Wilson.
That was great.
That's terrible. That's fucking ridiculous. I'm going to give it an A-. I think it's a very good year for Sam Darnold. It's a good year for Sam Darnold, period. But this was a critical year for Sam Darnold. And he passed with flying colors. I'll give him an A- because the interceptions are just a little too high. But overall, I'm not saying I'm a believer because I'm not a believer. Like, I can't be a Sam Darnold believer. But I'm warming. I'm warming to Mr. Darnold. And I'm starting to see what they saw, what the Jets saw when they took him out of USC. Because he's starting to finally deliver on his promise. He's finally delivering on that potential.
What was that, like 7 years ago?
I know. It takes a while, right? Look at Geno Smith. Geno Smith is a late bloomer too. Another Jet reject.
Yeah, he had a great season.
Now this year, yeah. This year, he's been atrocious. But leading up to this year, he was actually trending in the right direction. But there's still hope for Zach Wilson. Let's just put it that way. There's still hope for Zach Wilson. He's got about 4 more years, and then maybe he needs to go to Minnesota. He needs to go work with OC, and then go to San Francisco for a year, and then we'll be talking about him the way we're talking about Sam Darnold. Great. Michael King's contract with the Padres.
How wild is this story? After we thought the Yankees were in on him, right? We thought the Mets were in on him. My man is going back to the Padres. Oh, my God. I mean, bravo for him, okay? And bravo for the Padres for getting this thing done. Because I think Michael King is a really good pitcher. So I believe, let me see, what is the number here?
3 for 75, I believe.
3 for 75. No arm trouble. Right? He's had a decent season where he had a 3.44 ERA, 15 starts. Not bad. So I'm going to give it an A. I like Michael King. I'm a fan.
So he has been a sub-4 ERA guy every year of his career except for the COVID year. And I think you have to throw the COVID year out for everybody.
Rochester, like, New York, my man.
Rochester, New York. Absolutely. So he's a proud New Yorker. But to think, like, he was in the crosshairs of the Mets. He was in the crosshairs of the Yankees. And to go back to San Diego, it's interesting. It's a very interesting move. It's an A for him. 3 for 25 is solid. The success is there. 2.95 ERA.
I'm just surprised there wasn't a longer year deal out there for him. But I guess it's he's only had one double-digit win season. I guess that's what their beef is with him.
I suppose so, but the Yankees also used him in a swing capacity. So he was a bulk guy slash opener. There was never an opportunity for him to be a double-digit winner.
He's nasty. He's got some nasty stuff.
Michael King has had good stuff. You had to get rid of him to get Juan Soto if you were the Yankees. So you had to give to get there.
That worked out well.
That worked out well for the Padres. That worked out well for, well, that one year the Yankees got to the World Series, so it did work out. And they didn't have to pay $765 million. So there's that. So I'd say it's a win all the way around. Good job. Good job. Now, it's a bargain. It's an absolute bargain. 25 mil, where you're talking about what Scooble's going to get, right? What Skeens is going to get. A guy like Michael King getting 25 mil. Yes, he's 30. So you have to be concerned about that, right? You don't really want to go too long. But I'm surprised at three. Like, you figure, like, five with an opt-out after three, right? That would have been fine. Five for 125, opt-out after three. Like, I would have signed up for that. Like, I think that would have been fine. I'm confused as to what the Padres are doing. You hear about them shedding payroll, right? Laureano's available. Mason Miller's available. Cronenworth is available. Tatis is available, but then he's not available. Like, are they going for it? Do they know something we don't know? It feels like it. This feels like a move where it's like, dude, we know we're not going to have baseball in 2027. Let's just fucking go for it. Let's go for it now. Let's load up. Let's get it going. Let's compete with those bastards in LA and let's see if we can beat them. Let's actually pony up and see if we can beat them, because I know that we are not going to have baseball in 2027. Because it flies in the face of every report that you heard about AJ Preller and what the Padres were planning to do. But that's huge for them. A move for Michael King, a move for the Padres. He's going to be the ace of that staff, and I think that they will be in contention, right? They'll be in competition with the Dodgers. They need a few more pieces. They need a little bit more in the outfield. They need a true first baseman. They brought in Ryan O'Hearn, but now Ryan O'Hearn is a Pirate. Makes you wonder, like, could they have kicked tires on Pete Alonso if they didn't have these payroll restrictions? Maybe. Maybe they're in on Akimoto, because Akimoto's a first baseman. A right-handed hitter, first baseman slash outfielder. Maybe that's the case, right? I don't know. We're going to watch this space, though, because the Padres have announced their presence with authority. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a line on X at faderoutednz and let us know. But for now, class dismissed.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes on the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
I don't.
That would be one Mr. DK Metcalf. Can't say he didn't earn it. Got his money's worth. Cost cost himself 40 mil. Good job, DK. All because the guy called you your full government. Not worth it. Not worth it one bit. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, first up, I've got the head coach of the New York Jets, better known as COVID or Lupus, and that's Mr. Aaron Glenn. After getting crushed by the Patriots 42-10, you were asked if the team has played your brand of football at any point this season. You then brought up a game where the Jets ran the ball well on a drive where they were down 31-10 at halftime and then lost the game 48-20. You, my friend, are in some distorted universe that you cannot be reached by any human being. Aaron Glenn, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I have the Los Angeles Rams. You're going to Atlanta, and you only play one half of football. You're down 21-0 at halftime. You decide to kneel on the ball with over a minute left because you just can't get anything going. Matthew Stafford's throwing pick sixes. You went from like being a 5 seed and playing the Panthers or the Bucks to now being a 6 seed and probably having to play the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Los Angeles Rams, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers. You go on the road to Cleveland and lose to Shador Sanders and the Browns, man, in a game where you needed to win to make the playoffs. With the game on the line, instead of hitting wide open Kenneth Gainwell in the end zone for a touchdown, you decided to throw it to MBS on a fade route on Cleveland's best corner? I'm not going to let that shit happen. Aaron Rodgers, you think you jumped in a time machine, dude. You are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
What more can you say about Aaron Rodgers? Hubris. Absolute hubris on his part. I'm going to start with the Rangers. The New York Rangers. Another one. Another shit week in a series of shit weeks. And they have been shut out approximately two-thirds of the periods they've played this season. That's right. 67% of the time, you will not see a Ranger goal. Two-thirds of the time that you are watching them, you'll be watching a lovely skating exhibition. Maybe some fancy passing. Not much in the way of defense. And Igor Shesterkin doing his best Henrik Lundqvist impersonation. Zibanejad, probably going to go. Panarin, probably going to go. Anybody who's worth a damn is probably going to go. And when you're playing this poorly, when you're not doing what you're supposed to do offensively, yeah, that'll do it. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Las Vegas Raiders. Not only did you deactivate like half of your team against the Giants, you're not even hiding the fact that you were trying to lose. You have now gotten into it with star defensive end Max Crosby. We're deactivating you, Max. The fuck you are. No, the fuck we are. Yes, we're deactivating. He leaves in a tiff. They then say that he's having surgery on his knee. Okay, fine. He's having knee surgery. Okay. Like, I would deactivate him too if he's going to get his knee cleaned up. Max Crosby then posts on social media that he's playing basketball. There's video of him playing basketball. Oops. So much for knee surgery. The Las Vegas Raiders go out of their way to look like the dumbest franchise this side of the New York Jets. And they hold the number one pick in the NFL draft. There's still time to say you're not going, Mendoza. Mendoza, there's still time for you to say, I'm going to play one more year. I'm okay. Like, this is okay. Right? I'm going to go back. Like, we're going to run it back. Maybe I'll transfer again. Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe Tom can come out of the booth. at this point. Maybe Tom can just come out of the booth for a year. Because this looks absolutely clown show level. But what else is new? Las Vegas Raiders, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I gotta go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again.
Oh, yeah, what is happening there?
What the fuck? Do you guys want to win the division? You lost the Dolphins. Yes, I understand the Dolphins are playing better. But look at the Dolphins. Look at you. Look at your roster. Look at theirs. You're starting Baker fucking Mayfield, and they have Quinn Ewers as their starting quarterback, and they're beating you. You got beat by three. Right? An absolutely atrocious downward spiral that's going to see you lose the division to the Carolina Panthers if you are not careful.
Well, I think even if, what, the Saints win, right? If the Saints win, then it also results in the Carolina Panthers getting the title.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you have a three-way, like, the Atlanta Falcons will have claim to a division championship, but they will not be able to get into the playoffs based on head-to-head. So if all three teams finish with an 8-9 record.
Huh, interesting.
It's very interesting. Like Steve Kornacki pointed it out, and then it came to fruition because the Rams couldn't handle business. If if the Panthers win, right, they finish 8-9. The Bucs finish 8-9. The Falcons finish 8-9. Huh, thanks for playing, Atlanta. Here are your parting gifts on the way out. The Bucs would finish in second. Carolina would finish in first place with an 8-9 record, and then you'd have an 8-9 record team as the fourth seed.
Is Tyler Shook the offensive rookie of the year?
He should be. He should be. I would think
everybody
so.
Was making fun of him for his combine.
Yeah. Tyler Shook has been good. He's been good. Like, you know, Cam Ward's been under duress all year. Like, he's shown flashes. Shedeur Sanders has shown flashes. Like, you've seen players. Like, there's been some elements. Like, Jackson Dart has shown flashes. Not enough. But he has shown flashes. But consistently good play, Tyler Shook. I would agree with you. Put Tyler Shook, put some respect on his name, and give him the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. But Tampa Bay is falling apart here. And if they don't win, if they gag this up to the Panthers, changes need to be made. Right? Like, there's something that needs to happen there. Because you got Bowles calling out the players. It's just not a good look. And it's going to result in a lot of bloodletting. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you had one job, and you didn't do it. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account, at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll, at FadeRoutePodcast, and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.